fighting class here at Ever Increasing Word Training Center. This is Catching the Waves of Revival, and I am your instructor, Dr. W. Ron Walker. I'm once again so thankful for our apostle. Thank you for the apostolic call that's upon his life. Thank you for the royal family, all of the ministries that he oversees, Father, Word of Life Christian Center, Ever Increasing Word Ministries, LTMA, and last but not least, the Training Center. Thank you for these students who've taken time to commit themselves to pursue ministry. I thank you that the Holy Spirit will help us tonight. Holy Spirit, we invoke your presence. You are the only true teacher. So we just ask you to help us tonight to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. Tonight we're going to look at chapter number 3, which is the nature of the revival. Fire, huh? Okay. The nature of the revival fire. Let's begin. Revival is seen as the breaking forth of heaven's fire on the earth. It breaks the effects and the influence of hell's fire on the earth. And it establishes God's kingdom. Fire purifies by reducing the size and quantity of the material, but it increases the value. Fire extracts the worthless from the precious, thus giving value and worth to it. Though it is less in quantity, it is increased in its quality. When we understand the nature of revival fire, we can work alongside with the Holy Spirit and help propagate God's purposes until the revival fire becomes an engulfing flame affecting every place and people that God desires to touch and to influence. Now let's talk about the 7 essential characteristics of the revival fire. Number one, there's always a need for fire. A needed fire is a purposeful fire. We must know the purpose for wanting the fire. We need to know why God would be sending the fire our way. Those of us who seek revival fire must know the purpose for wanting the revival fire, so that our motives and calling down revival is purged and it is pure. The divine purpose should be our primary focus, so that God's purpose and God's plans will be established. The intensity of our longing for revival increases because of the revelation of our helplessness and our need. The spiritual energy of faith that is released in this sense of helplessness demands a touch from above. Now, I'd like to bring your attention to Matthew chapter 3, verse number 11, because oftentimes we talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost or being filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, but we leave out a key ingredient. So John in Matthew 3:11. Now you know that John the Baptist, not John who is a Baptist, but John the Baptist was the forerunner to Jesus Christ. He was the preparer of the way. He carried the baptism of repentance. But in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 3, verse 11, I want you to pay attention to these words. Matthew, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. Now notice this, he, who is that he referring to? The Lord Jesus Christ. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and, notice that, with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So if a revival fire is going to be started, it's not coming from without. It's coming from within. You remember on last week we talked about Acts 2, 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them, watch this now, cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set up on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. So literally, when we are filled with the Spirit and we begin to pray with our spirits or pray in the Spirit, we are fanning those revival fires. Okay. Number two, there's always a need for a fire starter. God is an arsonist. He sets fire to hearts that are ready for him. When we allow God to ignite us, then the spiritual timing is now. Oh, I love it. The spiritual timing for God is always now. Hebrews 11 and 1 say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In order for us to experience the fullness of God, we must always function in the now. Around here, now means never on wait. You understand that? You don't have to wait on God anymore. The works of God were completed before the foundation of the world was ever made. We are living and we are walking in a finished work. Now, I want you to pay attention to what I'm about to say. Faith is always in the now. If it is not in the now, it is not faith. Now, that's important because you cannot win unless you have already won. Many times we say we're winning in life, but you cannot win in life if you don't already understand you have already won the victory. So these are words that God spoke to me. If it is not now, it is not faith. If it is not now, what does that mean? If you're not speaking in the now, as though it's already done, as though it has already come to pass, then you have not won. If it is not now, then it is not faith. And if it is not faith, then you have not won. Now, it don't take a Rhodes Scholar to figure out that one is now spelled backwards. So there you go. Look at how God works. So function in the now. Speak in the now. Call those things which be not as though they have already come to pass. Do you understand that kind of vernacular? God is not going to do anything anymore. God has already done all that he's going to do for mankind. Mankind must tap in by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of faith, to access all that God is, all that God hath, and all that God have done, so we can walk in complete and total victory. Number two, revival does not originate with us, but revival originates from God, who is an all-consuming fire. God's overwhelming passion is to heal the church, to touch and to transform his church, and to break through every barrier that the enemy and men have set. God initiates a revival. Revival fire is God's answer to hell's unholy fire. The revival fire is often sparked off in our time of communion and fellowship with him, as we cannot walk with fire and not be burnt. When revival fire does not originate from God, that fire results in futility and brings upon God's judgment. Starting an unholy fire had drastic consequences on King Saul's life. His kingdom was taken from him and it was given to King David. Why? Because Saul was a people pleaser. God spoke to him and gave him specific instructions, but he put the people's agenda ahead of God's agenda. We must always remember in revival that God's original plan, what God's original agenda, God's purpose, God's intent must always be carried, fulfilled, and be the primary focus of kingdom revival. Number three, a need. See, in order for a fire to start, there is a need of ignitable material. To gather momentum, ignitable material are needed. God works on the life of the church to become a vessel that he could put flames on. God wants us to become responsive to his touch and to his spirit. We are to become highly inflammable in our response to God. God's word and God's spirit must so highly excite us, and his seal consumes us. We must be consumed by our passion for him and become increasingly overwhelmed by our consciousness that he's in us and he wants to move through us. We must not put anything, object or excuses in the way that will stop us from becoming ignitable vessels. Now get to think about that. In order for us to become an ignitable, flammable vessel, that means we must be full of oxygen. See, I'm a master chef. I'm a master barbecue. What you laughing at? I'm a master barbecuer. And down here in the South, where I'm from, New Orleans, we have these large grills that we pull out maybe 3-4 times a year. But we use coal. You know something about that. Now, some people, I don't know why. See, that's why you got to have your money. I don't have time to go get Kingsford and buy lighter fluid when I can buy matchlight. Because, see, matchlight is how God wants you to be, a coal ready to be lit. Now, if you know anything about barbecuing, when you get those matchlight briquettes, hope I'm saying that right, you know, I'm not all, you know, that good at the English language, as you could tell. But, you know, that charcoal, they give you instructions. They say, pile it up in a pyramid. Very important. Pile it up in what? A pyramid. And all you have to do, you have to put no lighter fluid, then wait 30 minutes for it to soak in. No, you pile up that match light and you get you a match. And all you have to do is take one little spark, put it anywhere. And I guarantee you that slowly but surely, each coal will begin to catch on fire. And that's how God starts the revival fire. See, we must become coal, full of the fluid of the Holy Ghost, that when we pray in tongues, that fire within us is ignited. The more you pray in tongues, oh my goodness, the more you pray in tongues, the more you spend time with God. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost and fire will come upon you. And when you get around people, they will literally be able to experience the heat that's coming out of you. We must give ourselves completely to God. And this will allow God's fire to gain momentum in us. Number four, there's always a need for revival fire to spread. What good is a revival if it's only affecting you, your family, and nobody else? The revival fire is designed to engulf your city, your county, your parish, your state, your nation. See, God, in this revival that we're presently in, it's going to sweep the nation. Because see, the church has been on the back burner long enough. There's a remnant of people that God is raising up who has an overwhelming passion, an overwhelming desire to fulfill his purpose in the earth realm. And you know what the purpose of the church is? To advance the kingdom. The purpose of the church is to advance God's kingdom. See, we're not to be on the defensive. We are to be on the offensive, because Satan cannot prevail against us. So quit talking about all the devil is doing. He's a defeated whip, puppy, and foe. All we have to do is flow, and we're going to see God's fire overtake this entire earth realm. I hear these words: the whole earth shall be full of God's glory. The whole earth shall be full of his glory, and that cannot happen without you and I. Revival fire has the ability to spread. When a fire does not catch on, it will soon die out. Now, that's a good example, because as a master chef and barbecuer, if you don't get that fire right, that barbecue not going to come out right. You know, and that's why it's good to have match light. I know I'm going back to that example, but you know, if you don't put enough of that lighter fluid on Kingsford, you know, with the fluid, and you don't get it soaked just right, it'll just burn right off. That's right. It'll just burn right off and don't fully catch on fire. Take much longer to get your barbecue started. Now your wife and the children hollering. Okay, go ahead. For the revival to gain momentum, it must spread sideways. Our task is to find others, ignitable materials, to pass the fire on. See, we got to pass the fire on. Go ahead. We must not become self-indulgent with the fire, but we must desire that fire to spread further than us. When the fire spreads to other lives, churches and cities, it becomes uncontrollable, and it won't be easy for the enemy and wicked men to destroy it. Those upon whom the revival fire falls are responsible to maintain the fire, to increase its momentum and to spread it as far as possible. Now, you know, this is what we must understand in the revival fire. See, as humans, we always want to be in control. God don't want a fire that you can control. God is in charge of the fire. Now, I know somebody said you just talked about, yes, you got to understand the difference between control. See, we're trying to be in control when God is in control. Are you listening to me? We have to allow God to be in control, and we lose control. And the only way for us to be in control is to be submitted to the control of God. That's why now in the midst of revival fire, you will always have different demonic spirits that may try to come and act up. But when God is in control and we learn how to yield to him, then we can deal with those. Because it's one thing God will not deal with, strange fire. He loves wildfire, but he won't deal with strange fire. What's a strange fire? That's something God didn't tell us to offer up. Go ahead. We must seek God's face to find ways to spread and to propagate the revival. Number five, a need. See, there's a need for a fire to be watched. An unwatched fire is an unmarked fire. Leaders that are in this coming revival need to see that the fire is not misused and abused. The church needs to be taught on how to flow with the Spirit of God. We need to watch the fire so that the fire will not die down or die out, but will spread wide. There we go back to that example again. Have you ever barbecued before? And that fire goes down, then the meat doesn't cook as it should. Somebody getting hungry in here. And the meat doesn't cook evenly or as you desire to cook. Because you know, when you do chicken now, you got to, you know, that's a good 45 minutes. If your fire is at the right temperature. If not, it can be a long day. I feel a barbecue spirit coming on. That's okay. Go ahead. We need to watch the fire to make sure it is. We need to make sure that that fire is fulfilling God's eternal purposes. We must direct the fire until that fire hits the bullseye of the purpose of God. Number six, a need to ensure individual fire. In revival, the whole community is on fire. Everybody is moving in the same direction and is drawn into the same flow of God's anointing. When the corporate anointing is increasing in a meeting, it is necessary to make sure that everyone is responding properly to the flow and to the move of the Holy Spirit. Every believing heart needs to be assured of God's authentic manifestation. There is no substitute for apostolic teaching. Every experience can be clarified in Scripture to remove all doubt and fear. We must be sensitive to lead each individual deeper into God and also deeper into the what? Things of God. And into the what? Supernatural. Only the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of revelation. Only the Holy Spirit can escort us properly into the realm of the spirit. Yes, we are spirit beings. Remember, man is a triune being. Man is a spirit. He possesses a soul. He lives in a physical body. Remember this, we're not human beings having a spiritual experience, but we are spirit beings first. We came from God. God is a spirit. Man is a spirit. Man possesses a soul. With our spirits, we're in contact with God. With our souls, we are in contact with the intellectual world. And God gave us these physical bodies so that we could function in these spiritual worlds. If people are going to see God, they must see God in me. I love what Jesus said. If you've seen me, you have seen my Father also. There's a need for every single individual believer to get rid of this old church paradigm, an old church mindset. Revival begins with you, and it begins by spending time with God, praying in the Holy Ghost, studying His Word, cutting off that television. I did say cut it off. It's called television. You know why? It's giving you a vision that God did not give you. Many believers are stuck because they spend more time pursuing secular things than they spending time with God. I'm telling you, in this revival that we're presently in, if we're going to experience the supernatural power of God, miracles, signs, wonders, then we're going to have to turn over those plates, fasting. That's what I'm talking about. Turn over those plates, fasting, spend time with God in fasting and prayer, give more time to the ministry of the word, according to Acts 6:7, because I sense that God right now, not next week, right now, God is doing tremendous things in His church. And all of us who are here and are part of Ever Increasing Word Training Center are a part of this end time revival that we'll get deeper into when we look at the final stage of revival, which is the times of the revivalists. When God releases the physical manifestation of the Holy Spirit, we need to lead them. We need to lead them deeper into His purposes. When each individual fire is burning strong, it adds to the intensity of the corporate anointing. Now, let me say this. Do you know how to store up the fire? Do you know how to store up the fire? See, number one, it's one thing to be born of the Spirit. When you are born again, you are born of the Spirit of God. The Bible says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's not talking about water baptism. That's talking about Spirit baptism. That is when the Holy Spirit, based upon our confession of faith in Jesus Christ, immerses us into the body of Christ. That's a well of water. But there's yet another dimension in the realm of the Spirit. According to St. John chapter number 7, you remember what Jesus said in that last day, that great day of the feast. Jesus lifted up His voice and Jesus began. Let's turn to it so we can get it. St. John 7:37. St. John 7:37, in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, now notice this, as the scripture hath said, then out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. So that well that is in us at the new birth, the Lord Jesus Christ said, no, 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 I'm bigger than a well. I want you to become a river. And down here in the South, you know, the father of waters in the United States of America is the Mississippi River. Ah, but the Mississippi River empties into what? The Gulf of Mexico. And the Gulf of Mexico empties where at? Into the what? Atlantic Ocean. Just go to your map. You'll see that the rivers, you know, God wants to expand you. That's all I'm trying to say. You know, in that last day of the feast, Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But here it goes. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him. All right. So if you believe on Jesus, you qualify to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Don't allow no religion, no man of God who not reading his Bible, you know, because we get stuck on doctrine and theology that did not come from the apostolic. Every child of God have the divine right and the divine privilege of being filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You want to get really drunk? Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. When you get drunk in the spirit, then you will be like a drunk man in the natural. You can cuss him out and he'll just laugh. So when you get drunk in the spirit, your feelings won't be hurt. So live in the spirit. Live in the spirit. Go ahead. Number seven. There's a need to activate the fire. A revival fire need material that acts as a catalyst that can activate the fire until that fire becomes an engulfing flame. The book of Acts records the catalyst as being men who were moved by the Spirit. Now, you know, in the book of Acts, it is called the Acts of the Apostles, but it should be properly called the Acts of the Holy Ghost or the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Remember what Jesus told those men he trained? He said, don't depart from Jerusalem until you be endued or endowed with power from on high. That same power that Jesus was baptized with in Matthew's gospel chapter number 3, you will find out that that same power belonged to you, that same power belonged to me. And Jesus functioned in the earth realm, Acts 10:38, as a man anointed by God the Holy Spirit. A farther study of the scripture will reveal to us that Jesus the Christ had the fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all at one time in him as he walked the face of planet Earth. In the same way, the church today have the fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. How you know that, Dr. Walker? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Here it goes. For God was with him. How was God with Jesus? The same way he is with us in the person of God, the Holy Spirit. You can't separate them. These three are one. Go ahead. A yielded revivalist causes the revival to explode. Revivalists are carriers of the revival fire. They are God's chosen instruments to help propagate the revival fire, to gain momentum. They enlarge the flames by their prophetic preaching and ministry of signs, wonders, and miracles. Some ministries can fan the flames of revival into greater intensity. God explodes on the scene of humanity through the lives of these men. Signs, wonders, and miracles I'll powerfully demonstrate it. And revival fire must gain momentum in our lands, and we have that responsibility to lead these revival flames into the field of the harvest of souls. Well, enjoy your evening, and we'll see you on the next session.